Good evening and welcome to Thursday's Late Debate. I'm Katie Hannan and joining me tonight we have Paul McAuliffe, Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin North West, Sinn Féin Senator Lynn Boylan, Duncan Smith, Labour TD for Dublin Fine Gael and spokesperson on climate action, communications and transport, Colette Brown, Irish independent columnist and barrister, and Tony O'Brien, former head of the HSE. We want to hear from you, so do get in touch. You can text us on 51551, email latedebate@rte.ie or tweet to @latedebaterte. Now, before I go to my panel, I want to go first tonight to our reporter, Barry Lenehan, who has spent the last few hours trawling through the final report of the Oireachtas COVID Oversight Committee. Barry, we've been waiting for this report. Is it fair to say that it's fairly hard-hitting?
And the most hard-hitting section of the report, the most damning, is in relation to nursing homes and the spread of the virus there. And this particularly timely as well, as remember the Deputy Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Ronan Glynn, just yesterday saying that this week there are at least six new COVID-19 outbreaks in nursing homes with five open clusters that have more than 20 cases. And the committee in its findings, it notes how it couldn't get satisfactory answers as to why 56% of Irish COVID deaths were nursing home residents when this cohort just account for 0.65 of the population. And the committee in its findings, it's sharply critical of delays in the state's response to the spread of COVID-19 in nursing homes. It notes how public health authorities were, quote, how they became overly focused on preparing acute hospitals for the ongoing pandemic in February and March, and so failed to recognise the level of risk posed to those in nursing homes. The TDs, they've also highlighted what they say is the state's silo type approach that did nothing to prevent the spread of the disease in nursing homes. And it claims that there are unanswered questions as to why some nursing homes were free of COVID-19, whereas others were severely impacted through the death of residents and sickness of staff. Now, it ultimately concludes that this failure to provide answers to the relatives of those who died in nursing homes has exacerbated their pain and suffering. And the main finding, the key recommendation from this report over 130 pages is that there be a public inquiry into each and every death in nursing homes due to coronavirus, and that the terms of reference for this inquiry be drawn up by the end of the year. And this inquiry specifically, TDs wanted to look at the large discharge of patients from acute hospitals to nursing homes at the beginning of March. It also wants it to examine a decision by NPHET. In particular, this is something which the Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Tony Holohan, has consistently defended. He has defended the fact that he said on the 6th of March that visitor restrictions to nursing homes at that point were premature, but TDs want this decision examined further. They also want to a public inquiry to look at the response of key actors such as NPHET, such as the Department of Health, such as the government, and what they did to manage the spread of the disease. It also wants the inquiry to look at decisions not to transfer patients with COVID-19 from nursing homes to acute care settings, to ICU, and also wants to look at the medical expertise available in nursing homes as well. And it goes further than just what happened in March and April. It wants as well calling for reviews and investigations into more systemic issues, such as a review of the private nursing home situation in Ireland. Of course, 80% of residential care settings provided for by the private sector, and the committee wants to investigate that. And it also points out a lack of coherent policy on the care of older people as well, and also says that there's an over-reliance on institutional care for our vulnerable population, with the HSE continuing to, quote, place residents in nursing homes that have compliance issues, and in particular compliance issues around infection control. So hard-hitting and damning in relation to how coronavirus spread through our nursing homes in late spring and early summer.
And Barry, this report also recommends a statutory sick pay scheme, which is, of course, something the opposition have been calling for in recent months.
Yeah, it says that the transmission of COVID-19 in nursing homes, in meat plants and direct provision centres, that it was facilitated by workers who, quote, felt compelled to attend for duty due to the absence of income support if they reported sick to their employer. And these workers, the TDs find, posed a high risk of unwittingly transmitting the disease. Ultimately, the report also recommends an Oireachtas inquiry into the meat industry due to the virulence of the virus in food processing plants, and it says that how the committee heard only 20% of Meat Industry Ireland members paid sick pay to their workers, and though kill levels were down on the previous year, they were not substantially down, while there was a substantial fall in prices paid to farmers on those paid the previous year. So more hard-hitting findings in relation to the meat industry as well.
And finally, and there's an awful lot in this report, as you say, Barry, 130 pages, but finally tonight, this criticism as well for the testing and tracing system that we have in place.
Yes, and again, of course, this the testing and tracing investigated earlier on in the year, perhaps, but again, a real pertinence to this recommendation, because real concerns this week of the contact tracing system is as close as collapse as it has ever been. This is what public health officials have warned. But the committee, in its findings, highlighting inadequacies of the testing and tracing system, and says, quote, the HSC has a lot of work to do to get it right. Turnaround times are too slow, and the testing of close contacts of positive cases is not robust, and it says that the turnaround time should be 24 hours. And one other point to note, in a week dominated by the relationship between politicians and the National Public Health Emergency Team, this Oireachtas committee calling for greater transparency around the data available to NPHET that they use to impose and recommend restrictions, and says that data should be independently peer reviewed.
Okay, well, I'll let you go, Barry. When are we, this is an advance copy, dare we say, a leak that you have with this report.
This is the final report. So the committee has finished its work. It was established during the interregnum.
But when will it be published?
When it will be published? I didn't get that far. I was too busy wading through it, I'm afraid.
OK, we'll leave you go, Barry. Many thanks for bringing us that insight into that report of all that work that was done by the Oireachtas Oversight, COVID Oversight Committee. And just Colette Brown, were you listening there? Was there anything surprising in those findings?
I don't think there was anything surprising, but probably the decision that they want to hold a public inquiry into deaths in nursing homes, I think that's going to be quite controversial. I think obviously everybody knows that a majority of COVID deaths were in a certain age category. Many of those were in nursing home settings. But I think the decision to hold a public inquiry into each and every death, I think that's going to be something that is going to cause quite some controversy. And I think the terms of reference, having those been finalised by the end of the year, I think that's a somewhat ambitious target for something that's going to have such a wide ranging impact.
Yeah, we're very long on ambitious targets always, but we'll move on from that, because as I say, that will be published and we will have further discussions on that. But I want to move on, because at 7:30 this evening, the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, got on his feet in the Dáil to take questions on his handling of events over last weekend. He revealed that the Chief Medical Officer, Tony Holohan, did raise the possibility of having to move to level 4 with him in a phone conversation on Sunday morning before that NPHET meeting. But he took issue with David Cullinan's suggestions. That's David Cullinan from Sinn Féin, who suggested that he did nothing to correct his senior colleagues who accused NPHET of going on a solo run.
The only person I've heard suggest that NPHET was going on a solo run is you, right now. I've never used that language. I don't know who has used that language. So the only person I've heard suggest this is you. It's the only time I've heard this language.
Now, I suppose, to be fair to Stephen Donnelly, he has already said that he didn't watch the now infamous interview that Leo Varadkar gave to Claire Byrne on Monday night. And just to refresh, if you're out there, Stephen Donnelly, this is what Leo Varadkar said to Claire Byrne on Monday.
It was a shock. It did come out of the blue. We were not prepared for it, nor was the country. I was informed on Saturday, as was the Taoiseach and leader of the Green Party, that a meeting of NPHET was called for Sunday. There was no suggestion, not even an inkling, that level 5 was being contemplated.
And that was Leo Varadkar. Paul McAuliffe, are you gaslighting us or what? How can we take anything other from that those comments by Leo Varadkar, other than that Neffet and Tony Holland were on a solo run, that they had tried to bounce the government into stricter restrictions and they had done so giving them no notice? When we now know there was a whole range of communications over that weekend in advance and post that meeting.
Well, I think, first of all, Katie, just as a member of the COVID committee, I just want to reference the summary which Barry gave. I think it is a wide-ranging report. I think there were no punches pulled in it. And I think all of the representatives of that committee from all parties approached it on that basis. I think when the COVID committee was established, it was about trying to work together to address the pandemic. And tonight in the Dáil, I saw something that really, I think, is the end of any semblance from the opposition that they're trying to work together with us on this. Stephen Donnelly was fairer to them than I would be when he said he wanted to work with them. But really, tonight's slot in the Dáil was called for on Tuesday to address the move from level 2 to level 3. And instead, the parties that largely agree that we shouldn't have moved to level 5 used it as some sort of amateur courtroom drama to try and pin something on Stephen Donnelly that was never there. I think it was shocking. I think it was a waste of public time.
Will you please just address the question I asked you? I played back just in case you
There's no need to play it back, Eddie. So everyone heard what the Taoiseach said.
The import of what the Taoiseach had said, not that they had been bounced with no notice. This had come as a bolt from the blue.
Let's be clear. I wrote the three words down with what the Taoiseach said, that it was a shock, that it was out of blue, that there was no inkling that we would move to level 5.
About moving to level 4 before that meeting, before the meeting ever took place. And presumably what happened was the CMO was then convinced by his colleagues that actually they needed to go further. But there had already been a discussion moving up one or two levels. So the idea is you have no inkling that you were going to
level 5. That's what the Taoiseach said. If you take him at his word, that's what he said.
Yeah, but a shock. It wasn't a shock. They knew that this meeting was taking place.
Do you want to replay the clip again? The Taoiseach said it was a shock. It was out of the blue.
How was it out of the blue?
There's no movement to level 5.
So this is what we're going. This is the hill you're going to die on. That it was the level 5.
Why is it a hill anyone is dying on, Katie? This is about how government is advised by Neffet that it's the cabinet in cold consideration on Monday, with plenty of time. Party leaders, then the cabinet subcommittee, then a full cabinet meeting, decided that they would differ from the advice given by Neffet. By the way, I think in the Dáil, the Democratic majority is in favour of that strategy.
Which is entirely within their rights to do so.
So tonight,
the issue is not that. The issue is...
Why is the knitting circle that is in Leinster House about who knew what when, which actually doesn't make any difference to people? Can you imagine the people this week who lost their jobs? Can you imagine the people this week who would have been in retail and would have lost their jobs if we'd gone to level 5? The worry that they had. Do you think they care about whether Stephen Donnelly knew it at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock? And I think Stephen Donnelly has no answers on it.
Do they care about whether or not the public can maintain confidence in the chief medical officer and the entirety of Neffet, and that can we now rely on them in advice given how they were undermined?
Stephen
Donnelly
on Monday night, the Taoiseach on Monday night, both said that they had confidence in Neffet, and Neffet had its job to do, and government has a different job to do, and government's job is to balance all of the considerations. Neffet did nothing wrong here. The government did nothing wrong. They have two different functions, and they operate, and they've delivered a result. And as I say, I think that result, not to go to level 5, has a clear majority across all parties in the Dáil.
Duncan Smith, you were part of that knitting circle earlier on.
I very much was, and I just want to respond to what Deputy McAuliffe said there. It very much does matter what happened over those couple of days from Saturday, Sunday and into Monday. Quite frankly, what Taoiseach Varadkar said on Monday night on RTÉ TV lacked any credibility whatsoever. And I think it was a way of him to attack a group of public servants that are Neffet in an unprovoked and, quite frankly, a pretty foul manner. The other issue that is of great importance is how the CMO and the Minister for Health, with the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach, are communicating their own decision-making. I'm under no illusions that behind closed doors, very, very difficult and frank discussions are taking place over what level the country needs to be at. But for that to spill out in such a disorganised, confused manner.
How was it disorganised and confused?
Because it was leaked to the media. And the media reported...
Paul, but are you suggesting that was Paul, deliberately leaked?
Paul, I didn't interrupt you.
I'm interrupting you, Duncan, because you're not actually making any... You're saying the words you used in the doll were fallout, calamity, flawed relationships, Agatha Christie. But tell us exactly what went wrong.
What went wrong was, if you were to jump from level 3 to level 5, that has a huge impact.
And that's why the government didn't agree with it.
Paul... It was leaked out, and you had people queuing around the block at toy stores on Monday.
But tonight,
worried about
tonight,
Christmas.
Duncan, with no evidence, you all but accused Stephen Donnelly of leaking it.
You don't have the
privilege of Dáil here. Are you willing to repeat that here?
We needed to find out what happened. So we had our time in the Dáil. The government delayed. The Taoiseach said that he would be there. He wasn't. We waited to the very tail end of a Thursday evening, and the minister came, and we asked our questions, and he answered them. Okay, I'm not satisfied with all the answers, but as we all know, this pandemic is moving on at an unbelievable pace, and we need to tackle the pandemic.
Okay,
but we do need to ask questions when mini crises and mini series like that happen. And that was not you. You cannot be
Perry Mason. That's
what it was. You cannot be proud of what happened with the government on Saturday, Sunday into Monday.
I am absolutely proud. NPHET gave advice. The government, in cold consideration over a long period of time, considered it. The cabinet subcommittee, the full cabinet, the Taoiseach made a statement to the nation. I don't know which bit of that. It wasn't the correct procedure. And by the way, Duncan?
Paul, can I just ask you? Did you see the Leo Varadkar interview?
It's interesting you say that, because at the point that Stephen Donnelly said he hadn't seen it, all I had seen was the clips on social media. I also hadn't seen the
Why do you
interview.
Think it but was have, so widely have, clipped on social watched, media if it was such a thing of nothing?
Because I tell you why. Because Leo Varadkar was far more direct in what he said than perhaps what Stephen Donnelly or the Taoiseach said.
Wow.
We are different parties. We use different tone. But
he did a better job than the Taoiseach?
I did not say that, Katie. The Taoiseach used his language, Stephen Donnelly used his language, Leo Varadkar used his. It is very clear that all three of them said that it was a surprise. Was it not a surprise to you that we went to level 5? Was it not a surprise to anyone else in the country?
Lynn,
of course it was a surprise.
Lynn.
Wow. One, I can't believe that, Paul, you're defending the Tánaiste so much, given that...
I didn't say...
I'll do it, Kamala Harris, I'm speaking... You're defending the Tánaiste, who deliberately seemed to upstage the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, when they were doing a press conference, to go on the Claire Byrne show. So the nation is watching the Tánaiste, not the Taoiseach. And then for him to literally throw the public health body that we're trusting to give us the health advice, NPHET, under the bus and reverse it. And he did that. And... what you're trying to say now is, so because this is what's important about what took place in the Dáil tonight, either the miscommunication was the Minister for Health did not relay the information that the CMO had given him throughout the course of Sunday to the Tánaiste and
did.
The Taoiseach.
He said he did.
Okay, so he did, right? So then why did the Tánaiste go out on Claire Byrne, upstaging the Taoiseach and the Minister for Health, and make it out to the nation that somehow NPHET hadn't flagged any of this with him, hadn't discussed going up to levels, but that suddenly out of thin air, this letter is leaked to the media and we're all in shock.
Can I address and those
that's,
two points?
So one, I find it bizarre that Fianna Fáil are so defensive of Leo Varadkar.
She suggested that the Tánaiste appeared at the same time as the Taoiseach. That's not true. The Taoiseach's address was over. It was a press conference being given by Stephen Donnelly, and at the same time the Tánaiste was on Claire Byrne. I don't control what time Claire Byrne starts at. That's a matter for her TA. I don't think there was a deliberate attempt by the Tánaiste to make a statement at the same time as the Taoiseach, because it didn't happen.
Really?
They were at different times.
I find it bizarre that you have commentators tweeting from the Minister of Health.
Facts are really important here, Lynn.
Did
the Tánaiste and the Taoiseach speak at the same time? You said they did.
I'm saying the Tánaiste went out and upstaged the Taoiseach by going on live TV.
That's what you said.
Well, he upstaged it because the journalists that were covering the Minister for Health speaking were covering the Minister for Health was giving one version of events, and then the Tánaiste was on live
different
TV to the nation. Giving a completely
decision.
Different version
they
of
were
events.
Communicating the cabinet
and now
decision.
And then we had the Tánaiste go into the Dáil today and repeat on the Dáil record that he has no awareness of moving from up to a different level.
No, to
that
level 5 was his exact word.
He said that there was no discussion about moving to different levels.
Can you play the clip back?
That's not the clip. I'm talking about going into the Dáil today and repeating
that he did not know any information about moving from different levels.
I don't see
levels.
How any of this and helped us fix the pandemic.
Then you have,
it's all about three parties, Labour Party, Sinn Féin and the Social Democrats trying to find a way to different
Paul,
from government.
Paul,
and he's actually agreed with
all
that he shouldn't
have
went
to level
5.
With all due respect, what the Tánaiste did, and due to the fact that there seems to be miscommunication on side, not on NPHET's side, on the government side, has created an image now out there in the public domain.
Who created that though, Lynn?
The Tánaiste did.
There's no one in Fianna Fáil, Fianna Gael or Greens.
I want to bring Tony O'Brien. I want to bring Tony O'Brien into this because Tony, you would have worked closely with both the Tánaiste and Tony Houlihan when you were at the helm of the HSE.
I would indeed. I know them both reasonably well, it has to be said.
Were you surprised at the tone that the Tánaiste took on Monday night?
Not particularly, but what I would say is it's interesting sitting here some distance from Dublin listening to the goings-on in the goldfish bowl of Leinster House as though it's in some way important to what actually is of concern now, which is the fact that we have a COVID pandemic. Just today, for example, we saw a rate of COVID positivity just north of where I'm sitting in the six counties of Northern Ireland, which, if it were translated into the Republic, would amount to 2,400 cases.
And we are to be covering all those issues. But just indulge us for a moment, Tony, and give us your view on the machinations of the weekend. Is there not a long-standing protocol in politics that you don't criticise or take out your senior civil servants in scenarios like this?
Well, while it's true that the language that the Tánaiste used was quite strong, it wasn't particularly strong for him. And it's also clear from the comments made by Tony Holland yesterday that the two of them have had a discussion about it. They're at peace and the matter is closed as between themselves. But clearly that the whole thing went wrong at the point at which somebody leaked not the letter, I think, but the fact of the escalation to level 5 just in time for the 9 o'clock news on Sunday, and as Tony Holohan has said himself, whoever did that didn't share NPHET's objective of escalating to level 5 because it almost guaranteed that wouldn't happen. We are where we are. We're now in level 3 and we have a collective job, as Tony Holohan himself has said, to make level 3 work in order that we don't end up in level 5, because of course we'll only end up in level 5 if more and more of our fellow citizens contract COVID and some of them will become ill. And some of them will die. So that's the real issue here. Yeah, I understand the nature of Leinster House politics. I was in and out of the place enough in the past. But at this point, I think it really is time to move on and focus on the critical issues and the reasons why level 2 wasn't working sufficiently and why we now need to make level 3 work.
Can I bring in Colette? Were you watching Stephen Donnelly tonight?
I was indeed. I did watch the speech. And what I know Paul thinks this is a big hullabaloo about nothing, and he's doing quite a good job there of sounding very bemused by the whole thing. But controversies like this and what happened over the weekend, they tell us something about what's happening behind the scenes, the communication between parties and government, between NPHET and the government, the process that's involved in reaching a decision, the decision-making process itself. At the end of that. And what we saw over the weekend, frankly, was a mess. Now, it's extraordinary to me that we didn't hear Stephen Donnelly mention level 4 until today. Now, why didn't he say that on Monday, that he had been warned about the levels? In the Irish Independent yesterday, the Taoiseach spokesperson told the paper that the Taoiseach didn't know the NPHET meeting on Sunday was going to be about changing levels. Stephen Donnelly said today that he did tell the Taoiseach in advance of the meeting that it was going to be about changing levels. Tony Holohan has said that he expressed deep concern about the rates of transmission. Stephen Donnelly said today that concern was such that he said that he was recommending perhaps that the country move to level 4 in the event they looked at the figures and they recommended level 5. So, I mean, for the Tánaiste to come out then and absolutely excoriate NPHET on Clare Byrne's programme. And I mean, I know I know Tony there has said that the language wasn't strong, but he clarified that by saying for Leo Varadkar. But I mean, I think many people were shocked by the tone because, as you said, Katie, there's a long-standing tradition of politicians not personally attacking public servants. Why? Because they can't fight back when politicians do that. And I think there was a very low blow that Leo Varadkar made when he said that the people sitting around in Neffet making that conclusion and looking at the figures, that they didn't have to worry about becoming unemployed. They didn't have to worry about their jobs being lost, and that somehow they're living in some kind of ivory tower, divorced from the consequences of COVID that ordinary people are facing. And I thought, considering the very fact that Tony Holohan has come back to work just this weekend because he's been taking some time out to care for his wife, I thought that was a very insensitive and mean comment, frankly. So I think the government basically is in shambles by this decision. They don't seem to be talking amongst themselves, to themselves. They don't seem to be sharing information in an efficient manner with each other. And then they throw civil servants under the bus when things blow up and there's a leak and they don't like the consequences of it.
Yeah, there's a danger there, isn't there, in terms of the message you're sending out to the people who are handing you the policy documents and giving you the advice.
Exactly, because I mean, what we have to do is protect the independence of Neffet, and we can't have a situation whereby Neffet are second guessing their decisions or their recommendations. We can't have a situation whereby they're concerned about political fallout to their recommendations. So Neffet has to give us the unvarnished truth. They have to be protected to do that, and there can't be political interference coming into the process when they are making the decisions and giving the government advice. Now, the government is perfectly within its rights not to take their advice. They have bigger considerations, wider considerations, broader considerations to feed into the decision-making process. But they just have to do it in a rational and professional basis.
But on that exact point, you know, given the criticisms that were, you know, warranted or unwarranted, levelled in the direction of Neffet this week, is it time, maybe I'll put this to you, Tony, is it time to revamp Neffet now? Do we need to bring in those other strands of expertise to feed into the advice and recommendations that are coming from Neffet?
Well, I don't know if you'd necessarily revamp Neffet, but I think the overall management of the crisis needs to reflect that it's not a short-term crisis. It's looking to me like something we'll be dealing with in one form or another as a national emergency into 2022. And normally when we have national emergencies, which aren't considered to be very short-term in nature, we have a bigger architecture, national crisis processes. And I think we're expecting an awful lot of Neffet to carry this. It is a multifaceted crisis. I think the government needs both input and challenge from a wider range of expertise. And that's not in any way to diminish the important role of Neffet, who've done tremendous service. But I think what's now being asked of them is probably more than they're equipped to do. But that doesn't mean that expertise other than public health expertise should advise on the key public health issues, because they're doing that very well.
OK, I just want to give you a sense. People are texting into us at 51551. Government policy, when the going gets tough, blame someone else, says one texter. Another, Katie, it is obvious to anyone with half a brain that we should be going into another lockdown. Katie, another texter, or an email came in saying, Katie, I would love to know how the opposition would have reacted if we had gone to level 5. That's Sandra. And finally, methinks McAuliffe protested too much. I have another update, not good news, as if anything else could go wrong this year. Ireland has lost to Slovakia on penalties. We will miss out. We are not going to the Euros.
Kenny, can I go back on some of the things Colette said? Because she was throwing stuff around there, like words like government in shambles, not sharing information, political interference. Again, I just don't see any evidence of any of that. Where is the evidence that there was political interference in the recommendation of Neffet? If anything, there was absolutely
Let's talk about that actually now.
Because that's a really serious charge.
No, but it's a very important point that where we're at right now. Because we are in a bit of no man's land, I think, because we know, like, our anchor used to be Neffet. That's where we turned. That was our North Star when it came to what should we be doing? Where should we be? How should we be acting in this? And now, here we are. We know that they think we should be at level 5. We know that they think it's gotten worse since they thought we should be at level 5. But they had their meeting today. They discussed how deeply concerned they were. But no recommendation came out, because how could they in the circumstances where they know, we, no matter what they say now, we're not budging off level 3 right now. Like, that's a very, very difficult position we now find ourselves in, Paul.
Look, I think over the summer we moved to a new place where everything wasn't about what Neffet said, because we did move from a short-term crisis to a longer-term crisis where other factors were definitely taken into account. And, like, let's think about what happened on Monday. The government significantly diverged from the advice given by Neffet, right? If anything, that was a really serious political decision. It could have huge political consequences, but I believe they made it, with all the political risks that were there, they made it with the best of intentions to ensure that we manage this crisis for the longer term. I don't actually think there's anybody here saying that they made that wrong decision, right?
But they made it with the best of intentions.
Opposition can credit that was a really difficult political decision to diverge from the public health advice that many of them agree with, that we should have diverged from. And yet, they're focusing on an element of an information flow that nobody in government is criticising. So, like, really, I think the government made a really important decision to deviate from Neffet. They did that to protect people's livelihoods as much as people's lives.
Yeah, look, Paul.
Would you not give him credit for doing
that? I'm not looking for credit, Katie. That's not what it's about.
Oh, look, it's hard to remember accurately, but Taoiseach Micheál Martin actually gave a calm, assured address on Monday evening. But the issue wasn't Micheál Martin's calm, assured address. It was Leo Varadkar running a coach and horses through Neffet and its relationship with government. Now, Paul's saying over there, what would the opposition do? What would the opposition do? I think this could have been an opportunity if there was a little bit more competence and a little bit cooler heads, and one group wasn't trying to undermine the other with the leaking of this information. It could have been an opportunity for the government to say, look, Neffet are really worried about this. They're recommending a level 5. We are not there yet. We're not going to go there. We're going to bring the rest of the country up to a level 3, and we're going to see how that goes. But this is how serious it is, and that could happen at any moment.
And so let's prepare. why didn't you use your 10 minutes tonight to say that, Paul?
Paul, I'm saying this to you now because you've had a lot of time. I haven't jumped in on you once.
I'm the only government representative here.
You've had a lot of time. I haven't jumped in on you once, even though I wanted to. So they didn't do that. As Tony Hoolan said, the leaking of that information, of that letter, was done by someone who wanted to ensure that Neffet's recommendation failed. So that was a malicious act by somebody. Okay, that's why we were discussing that tonight, Paul. Okay, it's not what the majority of people want to be discussing. They are worried about this disease. They are worried about its trends. I've been on the COVID committee with you. I was on it from the start. I've been working productively on this, trying to find answers, trying to hold the government to account, Neffet to account. That's our job, Paul. Our job isn't to go in there and cheerlead everything. What happened on that? And when you reflect on this in a week, month, or your memoirs, whatever it is, there's no way you can say what happened over those few days was great. We're going to have to move on, but it needed questions. They needed to be held accountable, and they were.
If you suggest it was an opportunity to explain to the country why we shouldn't move to level 5,
that's democracy. Policy.
That's what the debate was tonight. It was scheduled
the intent of that debate tonight. I'm on the business committee, Paul. The intent of that debate tonight was to get to the bottom and discuss what happened. Okay, the government can title it any way they want.
No, it was Richard Boyd Barrett who stood up with the Dáil on Tuesday and said he wanted to go to level 5, and I have to give him credit for being honest about it, right? And he said he wants to move to level 5, and he wanted a debate on the issue. A debate was scheduled about why we moved from level 2 and not to level 5.
But is there an issue now, can I ask? Because I was listening to Stephen Donnelly during that debate this evening, and he was talking about the R0 number and highlighting that it was now down to 1.2, and saying again that the increase has slowed in Dublin. And I'm trying to remember who said it from the government side, but again, somebody from the government side was saying something similar yesterday, was giving kind of a reassurance. Look, it's slowing. Level 3 is working in Dublin. Like, that is the opposite of the message that Neffet are trying to put out there, which is this is really, really, these figures are scarifying, the graphs are going completely the wrong direction. But there's a need now from a government side to quieten down the horses, basically, and to give the best, to accentuate the positive. And is that a good public health message at this time?
No, and I think that's the key problem, and why I don't understand why Paul isn't getting the significance of what took place over the last number of days. The government had an opportunity to come out and say, we've been given a very stark warning by NPHET to move to level 5. The situation is very, very serious. We're asking the public to now come on board. We've all become laps in our actions. Do you mean to do all of this and to set it out very clearly? This is what NPHET has said to us. We don't think we can go to level 5 because of the other issues around the economy, around people's livelihoods, and mental health. You had an opportunity to do that.
We did that. Yes,
but unfortunately, Paul, it's not just Fianna Fáil who are in government. You have coalition partners, and your coalition partner, the Tánaiste, went out and completely destroyed that message and, in fact, sowed doubt in the public's mind as to the information that NPHET was giving.
The government said they differed from the advice put forward by NPHET.
No, they didn't. He said, Leo Varadkar said the advice was not thought through.
Yeah.
So that's completely undermining the advice. I mean, you have a group of experts who were sitting together who've been handling this thing since March, completely familiar with every single figure, all of the metrics, all of the modelling. And Leo Varadkar comes out on Monday night and said they hadn't thought through their advice.
I think, and I'm just trying to recall the interview with the Tánaiste, he was talking about this idea of a circuit breaker. And let's go back to discuss.
He was saying that they hadn't thought through the recommendation and their advice to government.
If you look at the interview, I think it was this idea of...
Did watch the interview, Paul, unlike Stephen Donnelly and perhaps yourself.
No, I said I did watch it earlier, Claire. I don't know why you're saying that.
Oh, did you not say you just saw the clips?
I said until he said that, I had only seen the clips. So I obviously went back and watched it. The point was that on Thursday they said that it was level 2 and that we should remain.
And then
that.
There was a huge increase in the 5-day average by the time it came to Sunday. So that was part
and
of
so
the
on,
reason.
And so on Sunday there was a proposal put forward to go to level 5, which would have made Ireland... no other European partner other than Israel that had gone for a countrywide lockdown of a 5-kilometre limit. It would have been a significant departure from all of our colleagues in Europe. And as I say, Colette, it also doesn't have democratic support in the Dáil.
That's actually, that is perfectly fine. And nobody is saying that the government cannot disagree with NPHET. I mean, we don't live in a NPHET dictatorship all of a sudden. But what the Taoiseach cannot do, or should not do at
the
least,
Taoiseach didn't.
Is come out, sorry, the Tánaiste, I think everybody is making that mistake today. What the Tánaiste cannot do is come out and say basically that NPHET don't know what they're talking about.
We actually have that clip, Colette, I think. Do we have that clip? Okay, let's.
The problem that we had with the proposal that was put to us today was that we didn't feel it had been thought through properly. We asked for some comfort that 4 weeks might be enough. They weren't able to give us that comfort. Okay. We also asked them what would happen after the 4 weeks if it didn't work. They said they hadn't contemplated that. We asked, is it credible to keep the schools open for those 4 weeks during a strict lockdown? They thought it was, we weren't so sure. We asked them, what do we say to the 400,000 people who lose their jobs tomorrow and all those businesses? We need to tell the Department of Social Welfare staff to get ready. We need to know what to say to businesses. They thought that was a political matter for us.
Pretty comprehensive takedown of the recommendation, isn't it?
Absolutely, and that's why the government disagreed with NPHET's advice. I think all of the questions that the Tánaiste put forward there were valid questions for government to ask NPHET and valid questions for the government to consider when they were deciding whether to move to level 5 or not.
They're not valid questions for the government to ask NPHET because NPHET has no expertise in the economy, it has no expertise in social sciences, it has no expertise in those areas. All NPHET is supposed to do is examine public health.
All of the questions the Tánaiste posed related to public health. Would it be valid?
No, they didn't. He was talking about schools.
That's not all.
He said they hadn't talked. He said they hadn't spoken. I'm going to interrupt you now, Paul, instead of you interrupting everybody else. He said they hadn't thought about education. We just listened to the clip.
Yeah, and let's use the exact words. He said, "Would it be feasible to operate schools during that 4 week level 5 shutdown?
And are schools
Would it make a difference? What would happen when it reopened again?" They were all public health questions.
No, and he said that they hadn't considered unemployment. They hadn't considered the businesses that would have to close. They hadn't considered the PUP payments. They hadn't considered what the Department of Social Welfare was going to do. But they had nothing to do with NPHET.
No, but exactly. But the point was is that for NPHET to recommend, and I don't want to get into a haggling match with NPHET here, but for NPHET to recommend on a Sunday night a full level 5 lockdown, and for the government not to consider the implications of that, what would happen the following day, I think would be wrong.
No, but that's not the point.
I think it's right that the three-party leaders would put that to NPHET.
No, Paul, seriously. You have just said that he did that these are all public health questions. When you're presented with something that wasn't a public health question, you are now moved on to another place and saying that
it was right for
the government to push back on it.
Obviously the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach and the leader of the Green Party don't expect Neffet to be experts in social welfare and economics and so on. They're not there. But they were putting the points to them in that if this shutdown for 4 weeks at level five, and that, remember, that's what we're talking about, four weeks at level five, what impact would it have in us tackling the virus in all of the different areas of virus life? And I think that's a reasonable
thing. Was it appropriate to present that information in that way, in that forum, in terms of maintaining confidence in Neffet?
Look, you know yourself, in an interview, people are asked questions, they answered it. I think the Taoiseach answered the questions he was asked. As I say, the Taoiseach spoke very clearly in his address. The Minister for Public Health spoke very clearly. I think, like Tony O'Brien said earlier, and I know, Katie, you talked about indulge us for a moment. We just don't have the luxury of indulging ourselves in all of this.
OK, I'm going to go back to Tony, actually. We haven't heard from you for a while, Tony. We're in level three now, and that has been a big shock for a lot of people around the country, and it's a huge blow to a lot of people trying to run businesses around the country. But are we really in level three in terms of, are we behaving like we're in level three or three?
No, I don't think we are, and I think that what we could possibly use the remaining time for, and perhaps next week for, is looking at the bits of level two that we weren't doing right and the bits of level three that we definitely need to do right if we don't want to go to four and five. And there are some simple examples. For example, at the moment, the guide talks about face coverings, and we know across the country in food service outlets, people have interpreted that, no fault attributed, as visors. But evidence has moved on. We know that visors offer little or no protection. And it would be useful now, I think, if we change the guidance to be very clear that by face covering we mean a mask, whether washable or disposable, that covers both your nose and your mouth and is worn over both of those at all times. A visor could be worn instead, but not instead. As well as, rather, but not instead. Then there's the whole issue of how we deal with the question of inter-county travel. And it's an interesting dilemma that we can be very clear about people not travelling, say, from Monaghan into Louth, but not from Newry and Mourne into Louth. And clearly we need to find a solution to that on an all-island basis, because right now, unfortunately, our neighbours just north of where I'm sitting are going through a much worse time in terms of case incidence numbers than we're seeing. But we do need to deal with this. We need to deal with the fact that even while Donegal was in level three, I know for a fact that there were hotels there accepting bookings from people outside of Donegal. So we need to be clear about what's guidance and what's rules. We need to insist on what we absolutely need to insist on, and we need to enforce it. Otherwise, people who are abiding by the rules are going to be let down by people who aren't, and we're going to slide inexorably into level four. So my fear is that at the moment, notwithstanding what it says on paper, we're not doing quite enough to suppress the virus, but we may be doing enough to do untold damage to our economy and society along the way. We need to focus back on the basics, the absolute basics.
Right, OK, we will be saying more or discussing this further in a moment, but I do have to take a break.
The Late Debate with Katie Hannan on RTE Radio 1.
And you're welcome back. Just a couple of more texts. I am one of the self-employed, this is from Roger in Sligo, I'm one of the self-employed whose business has been decimated by COVID-19, and I agree with what Leo Varadkar said. The country cannot go from level two to level five overnight. Another one here, Katie, Tony O'Brien is correct. Please stop this pointless finger-pointing over nothing. And finally, a Desi text to wonder, I wonder if Neffet have confidence in the government. I want to go talk now because Tony touched on it there just before the break. Northern Ireland, 923 new cases today, second highest case number, daily case number since all of this began. We know that the two CMOs spoke today. We know that the Taoiseach was also in contact with Boris Johnson. I think we have a clip from Taoiseach Micheál Martin.
And I made a very strong point to the British Prime Minister this morning that the situation is very, very worrying in terms of the growing numbers in Northern Ireland, and that it needed, that they needed support. The Northern Ireland Executive needed support, and that if he could give consideration, particularly in terms of financial support, to underpin any efforts or any restrictions that they might decide themselves to bring in.
And that was Micheál Martin talking of that conversation with Boris Johnson. But of course, we know that there is an unwillingness there to put in supports so there'll be no lockdown in Northern Ireland. So are we goosed, really? Like, no matter what we do in all those border counties with that very porous border, you know, that is just a huge, huge issue.
I think absolutely, you know, the right call was made today in terms of asking the British government that they need to step up to the plate here so that those restrictions can be put in place in the north. But in saying that, we haven't actually got the track and trace working for those workers who are working, living in the south and working in the north, or living in the north and working in the south. The contact tracing is not taking place. We've had doctors even from Donegal today saying it's not, there's no system. Certainly Sinn Féin has raised it. We've raised it at the North South Ministerial Council. We've raised it in the Dáil. We've raised it in the Seanad. We're not getting any response in terms from the ministers or from the public health PHA or from the HSE as to why that contact tracing is not happening. Look, we're an island and we need to treat this in the same manner we would treat an animal outbreak. When we had foot and mouth, it's an all-island approach. And
But when we had foot and mouth, I remember there was a massive Garda presence on those border, right along the border. That was the big difference between how we're treating this situation and what we did during foot and mouth. And a lot of people would say there was a much more serious approach taken to what was coming over and back across the border during foot and mouth.
But you have people who are working on one side of the border and living on the other, and like, do you mean, and back and forth each day. And if we don't have an adequate contact tracing system in place for those workers, then there's going to be leakage on both sides of the border in terms of people who are positive with COVID and spreading it.
Tony, you're living up there close to the border.
Lynn is right. We have to limit the amount of movement, but you can't entirely curtail it, no more than we would between any other two counties on the island. And that does mean that the track and trace has to cross the border, and it's not going to work unless we do. All of the border counties, both sides of that border, are equally vulnerable if track and trace doesn't flow. But at the same time, just as we're discouraging people moving between counties in the south, I think a similar policy would be good in the north, and then as between the north and the south, so that no county line should be crossed unless there's a really good reason to do so. Because otherwise, irrespective of what your view on this matter is, that virus is simply going to remain on an accelerated curve in the northern half of the country. Leave aside the border, the northern half of the country is looking particularly vulnerable because of the rates we're seeing in a number of parts of Northern Ireland right now.
Yeah, Paul, what can we do here in terms of...
Yeah, it's very difficult, Katie, is the answer. Like, we're living with the reality of what partition on the island is. There's two different jurisdictions. I thought Micheál Martin, Arlene Foster and Michelle O'Neill, I have to give the three of them credit. I thought they put on the jersey for the island today. They made the case. I think it demonstrates how much of a significant intervention is being made in the Republic in terms of business supports, in terms of social welfare payments, the guarantees into next year. I think all of those, the fact that they're absent north of the border shows, I think, that is needed north of the border in order to implement restrictions. I think Tony's point actually is interesting. You know, a lot of people are sensitive about the border, but if we think about this not as a 26-county operation, but actually as a 32-county operation, then I shouldn't be travelling from Derry to Donegal as much as I shouldn't be going from Dublin to Kildare. And I think that's the way we should be approaching it. It's not about having checks on the border between Ireland and the North.
But you can't get away. There is a political sensitivity around this in a way that we don't have a sensitivity about people not moving from Meath to Dublin.
Yeah, but I do think in the context of a pandemic, in the context of the huge numbers that I've seen, when Arlene Foster is willing to stand beside Michelle O'Neill and Micheál Martin alongside them and say that we need funding from London, I think those sensitivities are to put to one side, to be fair.
Mm. I think actually there was a graphic on Newsnight on BBC last night that to me was very telling. So they were showing the worst affected COVID areas in the UK, and they had Scotland mentioned, they had places in Northern England mentioned. Nowhere on that graphic anywhere was Northern Ireland, where in fact there is the worst COVID outbreak. Derry and Strabane, for instance, 704 cases per 100,000 people, which is the highest rate in the UK. It's an afterthought. We saw it in the Brexit debate. Nobody on the mainland as it were, cared about Northern Ireland then. They don't seem to care about Northern Ireland now. And they don't seem to have given the executive up there adequate funding to try to tackle this, to support people through it and to institute proper social distancing measures up there.
Duncan, yeah, that is the difficulty, isn't it? It seems to be quite clear that from what we're hearing today, that there are no plans. Are no promises even?
There are no plans and there are no promises. And you know, we spent 3/4 of an hour here having a row in the context of a 5-level plan that we understand to some level in this country. They don't have that up north. They don't have that in the UK, and they're not going to get it. And what I've seen from the Assembly members on every side of the divide reflects how our politicians down here have been approaching this. They want a plan. They want to be able to suppress this virus, but they are being fundamentally betrayed by Boris Johnson's government in London. And it is an absolute shambles. And he's leaving people to get the virus and to die in Northern Ireland.
OK, I'm going to leave that there because
That unfortunately is true.
That's definitely true.
I was going to say, if it was a conventional international frontier anywhere else in Europe, it would be closed now because of the consequence of UK policy in Northern Ireland. But we have to find a better way.
OK, on that depressing note, I just want to try and squeeze in a brief discussion on aviation and where we're at with aviation. We know the industry this week accused the government of demonising the sector. We know today the last 4 countries have now been taken off or will be gone off that green list from Monday. The Taoiseach yesterday said that testing at the airport is ready to go, but an unwise use of resources. But we know 21,500 jobs directly related to Dublin Airport, another 130,000 or so indirect jobs on the line. So is it time we rethink our approach to air travel? I mean, Paula, obviously a lot of your constituents and a lot of your constituents, Duncan, yeah. What is the feeling there? Is there a sense of being abandoned here?
And a lot of Lynn's constituents and people in Cork, and there's aviation workers all over this island, and they are being abandoned. And just to pick up on a point there, the DAA said that they have, within their own resources, capacity and teams to deliver 15,000 tests a day without impacting on the public health resources or the HSE resources. So they can do that now to get a testing regime off the ground as part of a multi-level aviation safety travel framework. They can do that now. So it is head-scratching when it's happening all over Europe. Germany, every airport, not just the major airports, every airport has a testing regime. Italy, Denmark, the whole of Europe. We are so far behind.
Just to be clear, this is what is fundamentally hobbling any hope at all of getting any air travel.
It is the central nut to it. There are other elements to it. There's passenger locator forms. There's loads of different elements, but testing is the key. Testing reduces the stigma of travel. It obviously reduces the risk of having someone coming into the country who has the virus also. But it gives people confidence to fly, and it'll allow our aviation. It's going to be a long road back, but they have to start, and they still have been given a red light. And I found it absolutely incredible, the responses that I got at the Transport Committee yesterday from the DAA on this issue.
Lynn?
Yeah, no, I would concur. I think that the DAA are saying that they have been putting in place a plan that they can roll out the 15,000 tests without affecting the health service. But it's the blockage appears to be with the Department of Transport, and that they haven't made any progress since May. And, you know, you had a green list that created confusion. Then you had a non-mandatory passenger locator. Then it was mandatory, but it wasn't followed up. And I think part of the problem is, one, OK, we want to be able to, if people want to travel, that you have that testing regime for them leaving the country. But equally, you want to reassure people who are in the country that those coming in are being tested. So I think this is a question for Minister Eamon Ryan as to what is the blockage in the Department of Transport.
Do you know what the blockage is, Paul?
Well, I suppose the overall question is that even only a number of weeks ago, when the Taoiseach indicated that we'd be joining the European wide system, the virus has changed so much in almost every European country, even in just those four weeks. I've now in a situation where I can't leave my county, and you would have to then say to yourself, other than for essential purposes, will anybody be using international airport? And when you say that, the impact is you have to look in the eyes of people who work in Dublin Airport, in my constituency and everywhere else, and they're taking a hit. And as are the people who work in restaurants and in bars.
But it's
very difficult.
Back to this testing issue. Is it that we just don't want to know about air travel right now, and we're just putting that on the long finger? Or is there a specific fear around.
I think we've got to be honest about both elements. I think even if testing was in place, it would still only be available for essential workers, because when you think about it, they can't travel to Kildare or Kilkenny, so why would they be travelling on a plane? What impact would that make really to airport workers? And I suppose then you talk about the testing itself, and both the Minister for Health and the Chief Executive of the HSE both said to me at the COVID committee that they have concerns about capacity. And I take the point that Duncan said about what has been done, but double testing, very low positivity rates. It's a huge amount of effort to go into that would not take up a lot of positive tests. And so in the context of everything else that is going on, international travel does play a part in spreading the virus. We have restricted it. There's almost no travel, and that is having an impact in how we deal with the virus. And that's like restaurants, like everywhere else. It's the reality of how COVID-19 has impacted us.
Well, look, having
sorry, Colette, to cut across you, but I do have to take another break. Sorry about this, but we'll go to a break now.
The Late Debate with Katie Hannan on RTE Radio 1.
And we've just time to bring you a few more texts. Here's one. All the well-paid people who want total lockdown should be willing to pay 25% extra tax to share with the self-employed. And then we would all be in this together, says one texter. Katie, you have wasted so much time being indulged, says Mary. Thank you for that, Mary. Tony O'Brien is speaking a lot of sense. That's one for you, Tony O'Brien. And did you ever see the government take the advice of the Fiscal Oversight Board? Nothing new here. Do move on, says Patrick O'Sullivan. And that's all we have time for tonight, and indeed for this week. The programme was produced by Caroline Dalton. Research was by Andrew Fleming. The broadcast coordinator was Elaine Conlon, and Mark McGrath was on sound. I want to thank my panel for coming into us this evening. I want to thank you all for listening. I'll be back with you on Saturday at 1 o'clock. But for now, it's over to Colm Murray on Late Date.